1. I'm going to read a poem to you real fast, and that my wife wrote. Woohoo! It all started on May 30th, 2009, when I became yours and you became mine. That's when we got married. We knew having a child would be so much fun. That's a lie. I did. She didn't. Anyways, it's her poem. We knew having a child would be so much fun, and God blessed us with Joseph as number one. While this young baby was still fresh and new, God blessed us with Thomas as number two. I was really hoping for a girl like me. That's a lie. She was scared of having a daughter, right? Oh, no. That's okay. We're thankful. But anyways, it's her poem. God blessed us with JL as number three. And then we decided, hey, what's one more? God blessed us with Sadie as number four. God decided we need someone to keep us alive. That's a lie. I don't know about alive. I'm getting grayer and grayer every day. And blessed us with Jeremiah as number five. Loving dirt and balls and trucks and sticks, God blessed us with Micaiah as number six. With his curls, giggles, and smile from heaven, God blessed us with Josiah as number seven. What else can we say besides life is great? Oh yeah, can't wait to meet blessing number eight. And all my family said, of course, because why wouldn't you be having an eighth? We just wanted to tell you, we kind of, I'll be honest, wanted to, Jeremiah had to tell somebody today, and then of course she was telling everybody today, and so we just wanted to, honestly, just slide right out and not say anything, but you guys are our friends and our family, and we love you guys. Even somebody today said, is it something that we could have done to make you stay? I got to be honest with you. You ready? You ready for honest truth? Ready? I'd be a fool to leave a parsonage and a paycheck. And I mean, I get to visit and I get to go out and I get to do things around the church. I'd be a fool to leave that. Right? Especially in today's market with interest rates at 5%. Like, yeah, let's embrace that. Right? I'd be a fool to leave here and go into the vast unknown if it wasn't God's will. Right? So it's not you guys, really. We love you guys, and we're thankful for getting to know you and getting to meet you, and we just know that God's going to do what God does, and we're excited about that too, right? But thank you for all of your love and everything, your friendship and your encouragement, and we'll be praying for you, of course. So you're in Titus chapter 1. I'm not. I'm going to get there. But then I'm going to walk over there for a second because, listen, I was very harsh on myself, right, last time. And so now I'm going to beat some of you. No, I'm just kidding. Right, Brother Steve? Listen, here's the church. I could take, this is a sledgehammer. It's a little sledgehammer. It's probably a 3-pounder. And this is drywall. And so now it's your turn. So I could take this, and you've noticed that we're doing some construction around the church, right? And it's a mess in some ways, and we clean it up every single day. But here's the thing about construction in the church. You know, and I was going to break this and do all that, and I got a tarp there, and I'm not going to do it because I don't want to clean it up. But we could bust every wall in this place. Bust every window. Bring down every tile, every wire, and with a little bit of money, a little bit of time, we can build it back better. And that's not a political slogan, that's the truth. We can build it back. It's going to take time, it's going to take money, it's going to take material, but we could build it back. Here's what you can't do, and I think every single one of us know this. If we break a soul, we've lost them forever. You understand? And I'm not saying, and we're going to talk about this today, don't give them truth. No, give them God's truth, right? God's word. Not Joe's book, chapter 1, right, verse 13, but God's word. Because God's word offends. God's word convicts, but it shouldn't be me. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying, here's a truth. If we break every single wall and pillar in this building, we could build it back. You break a soul, you've lost that soul forever, ever. And so as the church, Paul's writing to Timothy, no, not this one, he's writing to Titus. And he tells Titus, just like he tells Timothy, you need to be right. And we talked about that. Place a lot of emphasis on that. This is the standard for the man of God. Why? Because he's going to have some battles, and most of them are uphill. Right? He's got the world, he's got the flesh, he's got the devil, and most of his congregation against him. Right? Hey, we love it when the preacher talks on somebody else's sin and gives us ammo. Yeah, brother, he was talking to you. But then when preacher talks about our sin, we're like, move on, please. Right? Or is that just me? It's just me. Okay. That's enough. Okay. We get the point. But the preacher has to be right, because the battles that he's going to face are going to be tough. Right? And you can't give the enemy any ammo. So I was hard on myself. I'm going to be hard on myself again. Why? Because I don't know where the Spirit's going to lead this necessarily. I know what I have planned to talk about on this purple paper. Pink, whatever. Whatever, pink. But my wife was singing a song, Just One More Soul, this morning. And I got to thinking about that. Is that true? Let me examine my heart. For just one more soul to walk down the aisle, is that really my all in all? Is that my everything? Is that what I desire more than anything else? Sometimes I wonder. I'm going to tell myself, you ready? We were leaving the other day to go to a game. All in all, not the most important thing, but it was their last soccer game of the season, most likely, unless they have another one. But not the most important thing. Saw a man, no shirt on, at the corner, right over there. Now, I was in a hurry. I was taking my family to watch a game, to watch some of our teens play, right? But I saw this man, and I knew I was supposed to stop and get out of my van and talk to him. But I didn't. So I have to ask myself, and I have to be honest with myself, is it really just one more soul? Is it really worth it to me? Sometimes I wonder. Now, I don't know if you've ever dealt with that question yourself, but I wonder. I try to be transparent with you. You understand? We're all facing this battle together. We encourage one another. Together, we come together. That's what this is. We come together and we say, hey, this is what God's word says. Now let's go do it. Hey, I'm not doing it. Help me. You're not doing it. I help you. And we get the job done together. And we grow together. Right? Maybe. Maybe not. But Paul's going to write to Titus here. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 9. And this is where we left off. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. My goal tonight, and there's no clock, that is a gross oversight. I'm just saying. My goal is to get through most of chapter 2. But I want to talk to you today about be a Bob the Builder. Or a Beverly the Builder. Or a Charles the Builder. Or what? I don't care. Be a builder. Don't be a destroyer. Lord, we need you. Our churches in America are falling apart. I believe I have become the Laodicean church. Oh, and I want revival, God. I want you to revive that desire in my heart where just one more soul, God, would get me fired up and get me encouraged and strengthen me to keep the work going. God, Faith Baptist Church, that it would be a church of soul winning. Not just of going out, not just of distributing tracts and flyers, but of loving souls, loving people, building people, rescuing souls from hell, God. Help us. Help me. And Lord, in this passage that we're going to look at first, there's enemies. There's enemies that have to be dealt with. God, help us beware. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I don't know if this is the most amazing and wonderful thing to talk about, but there's cancers, right? These verses that we just read says, hey, that there's people that are gainsayers. They're just out speaking and trying to convince and trying to turn people. Verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. There's people out there that have the sole desire, and it's on purpose, to ruin people's faith. And there's all kinds of false doctrine, and there's all kinds of philosophies out there, and that's job of the pastor. And I think he does, right? That's what preaching the Word of God does. Hey, this is right, and this is wrong. And beware of those that are coming in and trying to subvert you, trying to change you. And we're going to look at some of the things here in just a minute. Just examples of what Paul talks about in other books. But it's like this. You have a daughter, Jay. Many of you have daughters, right? What are you going to do the first time she brings, hey, Dad, I want to bring a friend over. And you say, oh, all right, what's her name? Bill. That's a strange name for a girl. That's because it's not a girl. Oh. And then what? Every moment is skeptical, right? Every moment you're surveying, what's this guy's agenda? What's this guy's motive? Where's he going? Can I trust him? Right? I don't know if you guys do this, gentlemen, with older daughters. I don't know if you did this, but my dad would bring out the guns and clean the guns. I know that's a cliche, but he would do that, right? And my sister, we got to meet up with them. My sister and her husband just celebrated 20 years of marriage. And when she brought Chad over for the first time, my dad went through all that, and Chad said, oh, hold on. I'll go get my guns. And he brought bigger guns than my dad. So, you know, like I said, they've been married for 20 years. Hallelujah, right? But it's skeptical. Why? Because you have something precious in your daughters, and you want to protect them, and you don't want some low-life scoundrel, right, Christian baby? That scoundrel! Hey, man, if you didn't watch Petronius, you missed it. You got to go back and watch it now. Yeah. That scoundrel! Exactly. Girls, that's all boys. Just, that's free, okay? Hey, but listen, there's people spiritually that are doing the same thing. And, okay, what's this guy about? There's people that come in and want to befriend and all of that. Why? Just to start teaching false doctrine. Hey, let's do a Bible study. Bible studies aren't bad. Fellowships aren't bad. Getting together as believers aren't bad. But when people start wanting to change the Word of God and challenge the doctrines of the church, hey, that's dangerous. And a pastor, a shepherd, watching over a flock is there to watch for the enemy. And here's the enemy. But what is he doing? He's holding fast the faithful word that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Let me tell you why you're wrong in your doctrine. Right? The Bible says, cast out the scorner, and the simple will beware. Right? Making an example out of those that teach false doctrine. For there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Look at verse 11. Whose mouths must be stopped. I was just looking up a couple of them while I was watching the kids back in the nursery. You don't have to turn there. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18, I'm going to turn there because I need to. He says this, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection, this is 2 Timothy 2:18, is probably just one page over. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and look this, and overthrow the faith of some. So you have some people that want to bring their presuppositions and their ideas and their philosophies in the church, and you know what they're doing? They're taking a sledgehammer to people's souls. Oh yeah, I'll be a Sunday school teacher. I'd love to teach the kids. And that's great. That is fantastic. But we got to know what they're teaching our kids. Right? And I think Pastor does that. I do. And I'm not saying, Brother Lyman, this is who I'm talking. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there. Listen, if I say something contrary to this book is right and I'm wrong every single time. And call me out on it. Right? Because the Bible's right. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse 10. Here's one. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans, to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Hey, here's a man, Demas, who was faithful, who was one of Paul's, I mean, he was there with Paul, fellow laboring. And he said, I'm done. I wonder who he took with him. Right? I wonder who he buddied up next to and said, hey, man, I'm out of here. Let's get. Man, we can make so much more money doing this other thing over here. We can have it. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And I didn't read the whole context, but look at this. There's some people teaching that, hey, if you're doing okay financially, if you're doing okay and God's blessing you physically, you are right, godly. That gain is godliness. And isn't that out there today? We could list, and I'm not going to do this, but we could list so many TV preachers. Hey, if you'll send me money, I'll send you my prayer hanky with sweat on it. Ew. Okay. If you come to my service, I will lay hands on you. I'll smack you in the face. I would love a church service like that. That would be amazing. Let's just smack some people. Wake up. Right? I mean, get up. And there's all kinds of wrong philosophies and doctrines and teachings out there. Right? God just wants to bless you. Hey, this is what Job was experiencing. He experienced a group of friends, that said, hey, if you were doing right, you wouldn't be going through all of this right now. Right? I mean, that's the book of Job simplified. If you've never read the book of Job, spoiler alert, that's most of the book. His friends saying, if you were right with God, you wouldn't have lost your children. You wouldn't have lost your financial status. You wouldn't have lost everything that you have. You wouldn't have lost your health. You'd be doing okay. So you need to get right with God. And he's saying, I don't know what I did. I'd want God to tell me what I did. And then God shows up and he said, you know, I lay my hand on my mouth. Jude chapter 4. Paul didn't write this. Jude did. Jude verse 4, I said chapter 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. That's what they do. Wolves in sheep's clothing. This is encouraging, right? I'm trying to get through it. Wolves in sheep's clothing. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine that, somebody coming into church and saying, no, it's not about Jesus, right? We could go over to 2 John? No, 3 John, look at 3 John. 3 John in verse 9, he says this, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Hey, let's not be a Diotrephes. Hey, it's all about me. Don't you worry about the Apostle Paul. Don't you worry about so-and-so. Don't worry about the Lord Jesus Christ either. It's all about me. It's all about what I can get. Hey, listen, obviously there's people like this. I'm not saying it's any of us. I'm just saying, in the church, there are people that will build, and we're getting to that, and there are people who will destroy. And why is it so important for Pastor Pease to be watching? Now watch this now, because I'm going to make a point here in just a second. Why is it so important for him to be watching and looking and observing? Because there are people that are going to break souls. Do you understand? If he's not careful, if the deacons aren't careful, they could creep in unawares, right? So when the pastor says, hey, you know, I love the fact that you're wanting to help out in this area or serve in this ministry, but we need to address something, whatever it is. It's not that he's coming down on you. It's that he's protecting the flock, right? It's not that he's being harsh and mean. He's trying to grow and strengthen and help and mature. Why? Because it's coming up in chapter 2 of Titus. You're going to teach other people. And you've got to teach them right. All right, back to Titus chapter 1. Again, I'm not saying anybody's this. I'm not saying anybody in here is a wolves in sheep clothing. If you are, raise your hand. That would make it easy for us. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not saying that we are. And again, know the people of the church. There's great people, godly people, wonderful, loving people here. Right? But they are out there. And we do have to beware, especially as these times get worse and worse. So, verse 12, one of themselves, even a prophet, called him out on it and said, the Cretans are always liar, evil beasts, slow bellies. Interesting, slow bellies is like lazy, doesn't want to move. It's the people that do the least that talk the most. Do you know what I'm talking about? They do the least, they have the most to complain about. Just saying. And then Paul said, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Why? Why? Always, always, always restoration. Always restoration, that they may be sound in the faith. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Right? We want people, just like I want. Man, I like getting my toes stepped on. And he does it a lot. The Lord is good. Right? When I'm not getting my toes stepped on, I'm thinking, there's something wrong with me. Not, I'm doing great. There's something wrong with me. Look what he says here in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read several verses here in just a minute. In just a few seconds here. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15. He says this, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. I love that. For you compass the sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. right? There are people that want nothing more than to make little disciples for their own self and for their own glory. And that's what Jesus is condemning the scribes and the Pharisees about. Hey, you look for somebody to make them just like you, and you make them twofold the child of hell. Right? Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 138, 2. Letter B. For thou hast magnified thy word above what? Thy name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess to the glory of God. Right? And he's put this above his name. This book, right here. This, if you were reading and writing a doctrinal statement, is our sole authority for faith and practice. It's this book. Look at verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. And there is so much to say about that. And we could go into innuendos, right? Where the pure will look at that and say, oh, he didn't mean anything by that. And maybe it was innocent. And we can look at the impure and say, man, what's wrong with your mind? Why did it go there? Right? But I think it's a test more than anything. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Their doctrine's not pure, their motive's not pure, their love's not pure, their desire for souls is not pure. It's tainted for their own self-ambition. Man, I wonder, am I guilty sometimes? Just saying. They profess that they know God. I like this. But in works they deny him. I don't know. Maybe you know this. Talking with people, visiting people for the first time who come in, and you're talking to folks, and some people talk a great game. And sometimes it's the ones that sit over in the corner, hey man, preacher, preach it. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. If it's coming from the Spirit, there's nothing wrong with that. If it's Spirit-led. But there are some people that do it for show, right? Nobody in here, I know. But you talk to some folks, and man, all they want to do is boast and boast and boast and Jesus this and Jesus that, and then you watch them. Man, they don't believe anything they say. A verse I like is something. They're all good. Where is it? Most men, Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Get that first half? That's the first half. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Look at me. Oh yeah, I love soul winning. Man, I love the Lord. But a faithful man, who can find? Don't tell me. This is what I tell my kids. Don't tell me. Show me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Show me what you're going to do. Because everybody can talk a good game. And here there are people coming into the church that are talking a good game. But their works deceive them. Their works sell them out. And you know what the pastor's job is? And I think he does it. To run them off. You're a wolf. Nobody said, Jesus never said, hey, invite the wolves back into the flock. That would be not smart. All right? So teach, warn, rebuke. Why? So that they could be sound in the faith. Hey, get it right. Hey, Paul said, after the first and second admonition, kick them out. Reject them as an heretic. Right? Now, look at verse 2. I really wanted to get to this part. Especially this verse coming up. This is for you, Christian. It's good. So contrast verse 10 of chapter 1 and verse 1 of chapter 2. Let's read them both. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. There are people that are only in church to destroy, to subvert souls, to subvert houses, to break down the doctrines of God, to bring glory to themselves rather than the Lord. Right? And that could be any single one of us if we don't guard our hearts, right? That's just true. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall, right? I mean, that could be any one of us. But, Titus, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Watch this. That the aged men, he's going to talk to five different groups here, and we're going to go through them kind of fast. We may not talk about the fifth one. Speak thou the things that which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, be grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And my goal here is not to become a dictionary and go through every single one of these words, but I think we understand what sober is, right? Grave is honorable, right? Be these things, be temperate, have control, be sound, complete. If we were not sound in health, we would be sick. Right? Be sound in faith. Have faith. Aged men, be the example to the younger. That's your job. And he says that in another place. The older to teach the younger. The older to help the younger. Hey, you've been there. Don't let them make the same mistakes you did. But that means you have to be right. There's personal responsibility. Listen, I told you I hit hard on us deacons last time. And now it's your turn. Because you teach Sunday school classes and you'll run bus routes and you're working with the kids and you're doing all of that and they're watching you. They see you in Walmart. And how dare I be one way in the house of God and another way at Walmart? God help me. God help all of us. Amen or oh me. Right? Because we come in here and we say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then we go out there and our works deceive us. And we're hypocrites. I'm a hypocrite. Right? And the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Why, older men? Because you know. You know what it's like to be a young man. Listen, I don't want my daughters dating somebody like me, right? Amen. I'm watching for that, right? Maybe some other dads would say the same. I don't know. I'm watching. I'm having patience, though, with the other men, young men. And we're coming to that here in just a second. Look at this, verse 3. Aged women. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. He doesn't say this about anybody else. Just throwing this out there. False accusers. Maybe, just maybe, hear me out. Some ladies have a tendency to talk. And that's not a stereotype or anything. Yeah, it is. But it's right here. Hey, ladies, don't be false accusers. It's easy when we're idle, and he says that in the book of Timothy to the widows, right? When we're idle, to go from house to house talking. It's easy to do that. He said, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Older ladies, you have experienced probably motherhood, being a wife, and you have so much wisdom and knowledge and understanding to impart. You have such, well, I can't even get out and I can't go door knocking, but you have such a great asset in your experience with life, ladies, that you can come alongside of a younger mother and say, it's going to be okay. Yes. You're going to make it through this. Your kids, they wear you out. And sometimes you want to drop them off at Walmart and leave them there. I get it. but these days are going to go like that. Not just that. That's not what you're limited to, but you have such an amazing ministry. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Look at verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband. Hello? What's not to love? Yeah. Yeah, Ms. Barry. She needs to learn how to love me. Right? Not just me, though. To love their children. Teach the younger women to love their husbands. I know he's a dummy. You can quote me on this. I know he's a dummy and he says things. He doesn't mean it. He just doesn't think about things like we do. Be patient with him. You have such an amazing and wonderful ministry collectively, right? The glory of the young man is his strength. The beauty of the I don't know what it says, aged is his gray head, something like that, right? The wisdom, the experience, the knowledge. You, I told Brother Wesley this when we were out, you got to work with him on plumbing, and so did I, right? I said, hey, man, I'll be your hands. You just tell me what you want me to do. And he did, eventually. You know, we did all kinds of stuff. You tell me what to do, and I will be your hands. Why? Because he can't get down in that hole. But he sure could tell some people what to do. It was good. And he was smart. He knew what he was doing. Look at this. This is for you. Christian left. I even told him this was coming for him. Oh, wait. We got another one. Notice in verse 4 and 5, this is to the young women. Teach that they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And it's like, whoa, look at that list that God puts on the young women. They got a lot of stress and a lot of things. Now look at the next verse. Not to gloss over that, because every single one of those are important, especially today. The world is trying to rob us of biblical femininity. Right? Every single one of those, and I should go back to them, so I will. Discreet. Hey, ladies, you're going through things that we don't need to know about necessarily. Chaste. Keepers at home. Why? Because the world is also trying to rob us of biblical masculinity. Men, we take care of our families. We go out and work. And it's not saying that women can't have jobs. A Proverbs 31 wife, she's out there buying and selling and but still taking care of her house, right? A wise woman. Where was I? There I was. Keepers at home, good. Obedient to their own husbands. Hey, man, park there for a little while, preacher, so I have some ammo against my wife, right? No. But it is true that the word of God be not blasphemed. So there's a way for the older to act. There's a way for the younger to act. Now, look at this next verse. Christian, come back. Ready? Watch this. Verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Now, after he named dot, 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 for ladies, he says, hey, guys, just try not to kill yourself, Max. Right? I mean, what does he say? What does Paul write into Titus? Titus, just encourage the young men not to die early. All right, they're going to be okay, and they're going to make it through this thing, and they're going to grow up, kind of, right? Just don't die. Be sober-minded. Now, that's really, I'm being humorous, but there's a lot to being sober-minded, right? I just find it interesting, the contrast that God places in his word on the ladies and on the men, right? Verse 7, in all things, hey Titus, back to you, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of on the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Hey Titus, be an example to these guys. Be an example to the aged men. Be an example to the aged women. Be an example to the young women. Be an example to the young men. And then he's going to talk about service, but we're going to cut it off here. There's pressures from outside. There's pressures from inside. There's certain people creeping in unawares. And you know what? We're a church family. And I like that song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. Hey, sometimes family moves. It's okay. God knows what he does. Sometimes he takes from here and gives to there, takes from here and brings it back here. God does that. God is good. And God is in control. But you are the family of God. You are going to support one another. You, Brother Steve, are going to help Brother Todd. Right? And you, Miss Maxie, are going to help Miss Amy. Right? I know she's the pastor's wife, but she needs encouragement and she needs strength just like everybody else does in here. And we come alongside of one another and yoke up. Why? Because a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And where I fall short, you lift me up. And where you fall short, I lift you up. Not judging, not kicking you when you're down, fighting the enemy. And I was meditating on, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When the devil gets us so focused on one another, we forget that our true enemy is him. Right? When he gets us looking at flesh or political leaders or gas prices or whatever, we forget that the real enemy is spiritual. And isn't that the greatest trick the devil ever played, is to convince the world he doesn't exist? And he does it to us all the time. Anyways, I went over, and I'm sorry about that. Told you I put a clock back there. Support one another. Love one another. Encourage one another. Help one another. Build the church with one another. Lord, thank you for our time. And Lord, thank you for the word of God. It challenges us and it shapes us. And it tells us what's right and it tells us what's wrong. And Lord, so many times we're wrong. But there's times where we're right. God, help us to encourage those that need encouragement. Help us to be the strength that somebody might need right now, the encouragement, the wisdom. And Lord, build this church. More than anything, your spirit is needed. God, may this be a church that the Spirit of God is found. May we be people where the Holy Spirit is just pouring out, oozing out of us, God. That we might serve you the way that you've called us to. Even so, come Lord Jesus, but I know there's one more soul, God, one more soul to be saved. Lord, maybe they're here today. Rescue a sinner today, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.